Christmas Eve last year, Betty Barker, grandmother, went to bed early. She thought everything was planned and she'd have a nice night's sleep. And then the phone rang. She wasn't expecting anyone and she wondered who it might be. And she picked up the phone and the distinct voice said, "Hello, is that planet Earth?" Well, clearly a prank call, so she put the phone down. She thought nothing of it until the media the next day reported a tweet from Major Tim Peake, who at the time was on the International Space Station. And the tweet said, "Apologies to the lady that I rang yesterday, saying, is that planet Earth? Not a prank call, wrong number. I was trying to get hold of my wife." She missed out on what could have been a fascinating conversation. And the tragedy is, lots of people miss out at Christmas time. Because the message of Christmas is that God is speaking to each one of us. As it were, the Christmas bells are ringing. And the question is, will we pick it up and listen? But too many people dismiss as ridiculous the thought that God could possibly speak, and they miss out on the best message of all. I want to sum up that message in three very simple statements. Here's statement number one. There really is a God. The writer Julian Barnes once made a revealing statement. He said, "I don't believe in God, but I miss him." And I think there are many like that. It's often said that there are lots and lots of atheists around today. I don't meet actually many of them. There are plenty of people who are skeptical, but deep in their hearts, I think, they long that this world is not all that there is. Douglas Coupland is one of them. The novelist, an astute observer of the contemporary scene. He wrote the book Generation X. And in this book, called, interestingly, Life After God, he says this right towards the end. "Now, here's my secret. I tell it to you with an openness of heart that I doubt I shall ever achieve again. So I pray that you're in a quiet room as you hear these words. My secret is that I need God. That I'm sick and can no longer make it alone. I need God to help me give, because I no longer seem to be capable of giving. To help me to be kind, as I no longer seem capable of kindness. To help me love, as I seem beyond being able to love." Yes, I think there are many like that, who deep in their hearts desperately long that we are not alone in a pitiless, indifferent, meaningless universe. They want there to be God, but they don't know where to find him. And the message of Christmas is that he's not hiding. He's come to earth in the person of his son, the one who, in the words of our reading, was in very nature God. So let me ask you, what do you make of Jesus Christ? You may well not have any kind of religious faith, but I think you'll agree with me that he was, on any reckoning, one of the most remarkable men who's ever lived on earth. Born in an obscure village at the outer edges of the Roman Empire. Raised in a humble carpenter's home. In adulthood, never left the country of his birth. And yet he's had an enormous impact. There are millions in our world today, on every continent, in every country, who worship him as their God, follow him as their Lord, and claim to know him as their friend. Could it be that he is who he claimed to be? It was when I was 18 that I first asked that question. It struck me that this man, executed just as he was beginning to have an impact in his early 30s, has had a bigger impact on our culture than anyone else, and I thought I really ought to find out about him. So I went to one of the New Testament Gospels, and we've got copies of the shortest of them, the Gospel of Mark, by the door, to pick one up if you want. And I read it, and I found I couldn't dismiss him. He captivated me with his amazing life, his astonishing teaching, the miracles that had the ring of truth about them. And I came to the conviction that he was who he claimed to be. You've got to come to your own conclusions. But the Christmas bells are ringing, and the question is, will we listen? And at least consider the possibility that God might be calling us. That's the first message. Christmas claims there really is a God. Here's the second. He really does love us. The American preacher Tony Campolo had been traveling quite a bit. He was jet-lagged, he couldn't get to sleep, so he got out of bed and wandered around the city, and he found a cafe that was open. He went in, had a drink, and he noticed a girl in the corner on her own, looking lost and a bit lonely, and he went over and began to talk to her. And they seemed to get on well. She had to go, so off she went, and as she was leaving, she happened to comment that tomorrow was going to be her birthday. As she left, Tony spoke to the cafe owner. "Can you tell me anything about the girl?" And the owner said, "Oh, she comes every night. She's a prostitute." And Tony said, "Would you mind if I put on a party for her tomorrow?" And the owner said, "That's okay." So he arrived a little earlier the next day. He put up some balloons. He brought in a large cake. And as the girl came in, it just took her a while to realize that all this was for her. And then the tears started flowing. She said, "No one's done anything like this for me for years." And after the cake had been passed around, there was still a bit left, and she said, "Would you mind if I took it home and just looked at it? Because, you know, I didn't realize anyone really cared." I think there are lots like that young girl, uncertain, or at least insecure, about the love of others. And we all long, do we not, for acceptance and love. Think of kids at school, constantly worried. Do they really like me? And of course, we don't grow out of it as we get older. How often we're trying to put on the very best front so people will like us. And if they do like us, perhaps there's that little nagging thought in our mind, if they really knew what I was like beyond this smart, respectable veneer, would they still like me? To be loved but not known means little. To be known but not loved, well, that's our worst nightmare. But to be known and loved, that's the stuff of dreams. It's what we long for. And that is what's offered in the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows everything about us. He knows our darkest secrets, our deepest thoughts. He knows it all. And he doesn't just dismiss us. No, that passage again speaks of the one who was in very nature God, humbling himself and being born as a human being. See, God doesn't turn away from us in disgust. He comes towards us in love. Perhaps you think, "I'm not sure that anyone really loves me." Well, God does. He loves you very, very much. And he knows everything, absolutely everything, even those things that those closest to you don't know. You might say, "Well, I don't even believe in God." Well, he believes in you enough to send his son into the world to die for you. And the phone is ringing. And the question is, could it possibly be God who speaks this wonderful message at Christmas time? There really is a God. He really does love us. And the third message, we really can trust him. The Christmas mailbag a few years ago, the post office found a touching little message from a girl who was writing to Father Christmas. And she said, "Dear Father Christmas, I really want to give my mummy and daddy a present, but I don't have any money. Could you possibly give me £10? Well, the post office budget didn't stretch to that, but they sent the letter to the Rotary Club that always gave some money to charities and other people at Christmas time. And the kind secretary of the Rotary Club said, "Okay, we'll give her £5. And he wrote a letter and said, "Here's £5, which is coming to you from Father Christmas." And then a little while later, the post office got another letter thanking Father Christmas very much for the gift, but adding these words, "Next time, please don't send it via the Rotary Club, because they keep half of it." There's a girl pretty early in life learning not to trust people. And trust is in very short supply in our world today. It seems that institution after institution has betrayed us, at least in the public perception. We used to trust the BBC, not anymore. We used to trust the politicians, not anymore. We used to trust the media, not anymore. And perhaps in our own personal lives, we've learned not to trust people. We've been bruised. We've been used. We've been abused. And the tragedy is, the more power that people have, the more they're able to use us, the more they're able to abuse us. So trust no one. That seems to be the motto, if unstated, of so many people. Perhaps that's what's holding you back from really trusting in Jesus Christ. Just a thought in the back of your mind, that if I give myself over to anyone, even to God, then it's going to hurt me. He'll use me. And again, in that wonderful reading that we've just had, we read that this one, who was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. How many people in the world, once they get to the top, use that position and that power for their own advantage? We get precisely the opposite in Jesus Christ. He couldn't have started higher. In very nature, God. And yet, says the Bible, he humbled himself and became a man, not just any old man. He became a servant, and he became obedient even unto death, says the Apostle Paul. And not just any old death, even death on a cross. The most ignominious form of execution devised by human beings. And he did it because he loved us. And he did it to take upon himself the punishment we deserve for the way we've pushed God out of our lives, that we can be acceptable to him again and come to know him and be his friends. I wonder how you feel as you face the year ahead. Some undoubtedly will be conscious of big challenges, and you're thinking right now, I'm just not sure how I'm going to get it through it all. Others of you feeling pretty confident, but of course none of us know what might happen in the year to come. But whatever happens, we needn't face it alone. God has come close in the person of his Son. He died for us that we can be his friends. There was a first night in the West End a few years ago. This really happened. And the script was quite clear. The curtains were going to go up. And there in center stage was a table. And there were two actors meant to be on the stage, a man and a woman. The phone would be ringing as soon as the curtain goes up. The man should listen for a moment, pick it up, and then deliver his opening lines, having listened to the voice at the other end. Well, it all happened according to plan, at least initially. The curtain went up. The phone started ringing. But the man did nothing. A look of panic came across him. He couldn't for the life of him remember his opening lines. The phone kept ringing. And after a while, he had a brilliant idea. He picked up the phone, listened for a moment, handed it to the female actor and said, "It's for you." And it seems to me many people do that at Christmas time. They hear the Christmas bells ringing. It's a message from God, at least that's the claim. But they don't pick it up. Or if they do, they don't really listen. Don't really consider the possibility. It might actually be true. It's for the children, isn't it, Christmas? Or it's for those people who go to church every Sunday, the religious lot. And I simply want to say to all of us, in the midst of all the busyness of the next week, celebrations, family and friends, food and presents, pick up the phone and at least consider the possibility this might be a message from God that might be true. And if it is, that will change your life completely. And what is God saying? There really is a God. He really does love us. And we really can trust him. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for coming. And we'd love you to pick up as you go to think about over Christmas time this little gospel of Mark. And I wrote a booklet a few years ago called Christmas in Three Words. Please take that as a Christmas present from us as well. Very happy Christmas to you all.